I know that if I am feeling good, there is very little this world can throw at me that I can't take with a smile.
Mm.
But if I'm not feeling good, like if I've eaten poorly or I'm not on my game, like I'm miserable, man. Like it's mm-hmm. it's I'm a different human being. And I think that's kind of what I mean by stillness, is just allowing myself to just enjoy life.
You're tuning into the Men of the Hour podcast, where I, your host, Justin Crawford, have been interviewing today's most influential men for over 2 years now on the show. And if there's anything I've learned in 6 seasons, it's that when you sit a man down for more than 30 minutes, you may get him to open up about some things he may never have before. And that's the point of the show. Thanks for tuning in wherever you're listening and being with us on this episode today. I truly hope you're able to learn something new and take something positive away from this conversation, because after all, that's what podcasting's all about. Welcome to Men of the Hour Podcast Season 7. Hey, my friends, it's Justin here. And if you clicked on the Men of the Hour when you could have chose any other podcast out there, I just want to say thank you because you're tuning into a very special episode. This one is with our friend, Mr. Alexander Ludwig. So Alexander Ludwig is what most people in the entertainment business would consider a hot phenomenon, a master of all trades that he continues to build with his career, somebody who does so in such a gracious way. You know, I was listening to a couple of his interviews, and, you know, he was with a guy that was on Riverdale by the name of Charles Manson. And like, you know, you guys, I was watching some of these clips and I was like, dude, you have something about your personality that not many actors or entertainers, let alone musicians, has. And I think that that's exciting because you can feel that when you watch Alexander. But Alexander Ludwig, dude, welcome to the Men of the Hour podcast.
Justin, thank you for having me, dude. I'm so humbled by your words and I'm just grateful to be here, dude. It's great. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, dude. You know, the reason I said yes is because I always watch interviews that specific talent or upcoming guests do first. And then I say yes to Macy, who's on this call with us from an incredible agency called ID. You know, like a lot of times it's like, if I can feel that you are about to have a good conversation, then like we should totally have that conversation. But what I think will add a lot of value again to, and this is podcasting, right? So a lot of it's just, I could be so open and honest about this every time I've done these things. But the whole point of podcasting is for you to have a space to not only talk about all the exciting things that are coming out, right? Especially with your new album releasing, right? I know an EP is out now, but there's a lot of things that, you know, you've probably did to get to this place, right? Even though your parents are in the business, which is a whole nother avenue to go down with you. You're an adventurer at heart as well. So a lot to uncover with you, but if we can start at the very top with your music career. I mean, I thought you were an actor this whole time, right? And then I'm like, wait, no. I've been listening and I love country music. And if you're tuning in and you love country music, you're in for a treat. But imagine, right? Like I looked at you as an actor and now here you are with all this incredible music. So has it always been that way for you? How did you get into the business ultimately? And right where you are now, Alex, like, how are you feeling about all of it?
Music has always been a part of my life. It's kind of been that skeleton in the closet for me, and country music in specific. I grew up in Canada, but a lot of my favorite childhood memories were driving the Sea to Sky Highway, also known as Highway 99, which is what I titled my album coming out on August 2016. And I learned to play guitar and I wrote all my songs in Whistler Mountain. Which is, if you haven't been, it's in Canada and British Columbia. It's one of the most special places. I always tell my wife, look, if I die tomorrow, I'll spread my ashes there. It's just a godly place. And, you know, I had this time after I finished Vikings, which I spent, you know, about 5 to 6 years in Ireland. But when I wasn't shooting, I was in a recording studio in Dublin, Ireland, recording a demo and songs that I'd written. On the weekends, and then I would go back and shoot, and then I would record my demo. And I finally got back to Los Angeles at the time when I was living there. And I just sat down and I had a little, you know, money in my pocket from the show. And I was like, I can actually breathe for a second. And I was like, this is it. Like, I'm 26 years old, you know, this at the time. And I'm like, if I ever want to see where this road goes down, This is my chance now. And I, you know, I've always lived, what's gotten me to where I am today is the simple mentality. And I've said this before, just if I'm 80 years old and jobless, at least I did my 12-year-old self proud. I had to always have that mentality, especially in a business that's so insanely competitive, and maybe competitive is the wrong word, but it's just to have success in this industry is so crazy and so outlandish, because it's just, you have to be able to withstand just an insane amount of no's. You know, it's like thousands of no's before you get a yes, and you do that again and again and again, and you never stop. So for me, I've gotten very comfortable living in that place of uncertainty, even though it's something I have to work on every day. And I think it's something that anybody listening to this podcast is working on, perhaps, if I could be so bold to suggest that. And I started getting on these planes going to Nashville. And the one thing I kept saying to the writers I had met there, I didn't know anybody. I had a few contacts, but that's it. Like, I literally didn't know anybody. And which is like, they're like, why are you here? Like, you have a successful career. You're doing well. Why are you here? And I'm like, well, I'm here because I love it. Like, that's it. And then whether it's a bar or an arena, it makes no difference to me. I love country music, and I want, and this is something that I care about and I just want to do, because in my heart of hearts, it's been such a strong part of my life. And to me, I've always been a storyteller, and that's some of the greatest storytelling on the planet. So that's one thing I made sure every writer in that room knew, is like, this is not some actor from Hollywood expecting some record deal or anything. Like, I don't care. Like, I just want to be here. And I think people saw that for what it was. And, you know, months of me going back to Nashville with like really nothing changing again and again and again, finally, like, it's just like I've always believed that if you stay true to yourself, the universe will conspire to work in your favor in the wildest ways possible. And I'm in this airport in Los Angeles, boarding a flight to Nashville. I'm flying economy because I'm always cheap like that. I don't like, you know, flying first class unless they're flying me, because it just really doesn't matter to me. And I have these guys come up to me, and they're wearing all black, and I'm like, these guys are for sure a band. And they come up to me and they're like, hey man, like, I just wanted to say, like, we're big fans of Lone Survivor, the Navy SEAL film I did back in the day, that is to this day one of my most proud films I've been a part of. I said, oh, thank you so much, are you guys a band? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, who do you play for? And they said, Jason Aldean.
There we
and
go.
And Jason is one of my favorite country artists and somebody who I grew up listening to. We end up sitting on this plane. They're sitting right in front of me on this plane, and we talk the entire plane ride. By the end of that plane ride, I've sent them my demo. I get a call like 3 days later, and they're like, dude, we have to work together. And it's funny, because it was in this moment, this real moment of me going like, man, like, it just feels like anybody who I've been with in Nashville is pushing me in this direction that isn't really true to what I'm trying to do. And I think that there's room for all sorts of music, and I love all kinds of music, but I never wanted to do like pop country. Like, that's not who I am. And so I was kind of getting a little discouraged, and finally we started working together, and I said, look, if we're going to do this, this is how I'm doing it. And if you're on board, let's do it this way. And they're like, this is the only way you can do it. You have to stay true to you. So they ended up producing me. It was Tully Kennedy and Kurt Allison. Tully has played lead bass, and Kurt has played lead guitar and produced with Jason Aldean for years. And we released our first single called Let Me Be Your Whiskey, which is a song I wrote with a guy named Mike Delaney, who wrote Tattoos on This Town for Jason. Basically, somebody at BMG, which is the same label that Jason signed with, took notice and got me a meeting at BMG. And I sat down with the president of the label, and I just said, here is look, this is me. I will do, you know, whatever it takes, as long as I get to make music, because I love doing that. And he signed off on me. And since, these guys are some of my best friends. Jason has been one of my biggest supporters, and I just, you know, it's just the corniest thing ever, man. But like, you know, it's crazy to look at my life when I was a kid and all the people I had admired, whether it was directors like Guy Ritchie or Will Smith, or like an actor like Will Smith, or, you know, Jason Aldean, and all these people I've been able to work with now, and people who have inspired me to be me. So what comes of this, you know, it's a very, I'm just super humbled, man. And like, I have no control over how many people listen to the music or what happens with it. I certainly know that being an actor is a ding, if anything, against me when it comes to country music, because there's a perception with it, which is totally fine. But I'm just going to keep doing it as long as they let me, you know, I love it.
I love that. And if you're listening, I refuse to interrupt anything you said, but if it looked like I was typing, I was totally typing. So I have in front of me at all times when we are recording with guests as great as Alex, that you're almost vomiting like so much inspiration, right? So then I'm like, this is just part of the show, bro. Dude, you've said so much gold, right? You've taken chances. You've trusted your gut. You've recognized that like working with people you admire only comes from doing so, right? So then my next question for you, and then we're going to this airplane thing, because I feel like everyone wants to fly first class and you don't really have to, right? And so anyway, for everything you just said, I think there's so much value in that, because other folks are almost distracted and then becoming obsessed with the noise, which is another thing I wanted to bring up with you now, that you've given us such gold. You know, you trusted your gut, you've kind of ignored that noise, especially in such a loud industry where everybody's going to follow whatever they think is cool, or whatever their managers or agents or president of a record label feel like is good for them. But what to you was the deciding moment, really, where you were like, I'm trusting my gut, I'm doing this because I really want to. You just said it, your heart of heart has told you to do this, and that's why you kept doing it. But was there a moment in particular where you had to really force yourself to then pursue it the way that you did, and then watch it all unfold so nicely? Really,
it's really an everyday thing. It's like every day I have to wake up and make that decision. You know, it is. You know, I think the main. I think you have to get really real with what you actually want, and I love being on this podcast so much, because I feel like your listeners, everybody listening, it is trying to improve themselves, or they wouldn't be listening. I really believe that. And I think that is the answer. Like, it's not like there's not like a final goal where everything just suddenly works. It is the consistency of trying to grow as a human being, as an artist, as a businessman, whatever it is that you're doing, and getting really real with what it is you actually want. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting financial freedom. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to build a successful business. Like, that's fine. But if you can't fall in love with the process, then you're going to have a really hard time. I heard this quote, and it's so true to me. And I'm sure you've heard it before too, but it's like, if you want to build a wall, lay a brick, but lay it the best a brick can possibly be laid. Then lay the next brick and the next brick, and then you will have a wall. But don't focus on the wall. And I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of this too, we get so discouraged because our goals are so grand and they're so big. Like, if you didn't enjoy having conversations, like, you wouldn't have such a successful podcast, right? Yeah. Like, that's it. So for me, it's not as much like, what can this do for me? But how can I be of service to country music? How can I be of service to this job? That's my job as an actor. How can I be the best in this role possible? I don't know what's going to happen in the future. And that's a huge issue that I have, is that I am very ambitious, but I have to like control that ambition and level myself and use the tools that I have at my disposal to control myself as a human being and focus on the things that I do have control over.
I mean, yeah. And you said right then and there, it's like being of service. When you have a service focused job, especially for like better good. We hear it a lot on this podcast. We hear it a lot on the other one, the Routine Project, where folks are, when you have a specific career that caters to a better world in some way, shape, or form, you can then become more passionate about it, which is really cool to hear. You can fall in love with the process even more. So now, technically speaking, I have to ask this because after, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, everything you've said is perfect, right? But when you look at the more technical things that you've had to do every single day, are there techniques in place? What have you really done that you feel like have made you fall more in love with the process? And I freaking love that you said that. That's like gold. This whole thing is gold. Well, I hope your album goes fucking gold.
Thanks, man. I mean, for me, like, this is some of the most successful people I've ever met have really, it's no surprise to me. And I mean success in the material world, right? Because I think that there's two very, very different versions of success. I know billionaires who are incredibly unhappy. So I think that we have to like really focus on like, what is your version of success? What do you actually want? But I gotta be honest, I am a firm believer that stoicism is the answer. Like if you've read Ryan Holiday's books, Lives of the Stoics or Stillness is the Key, like these old philosophers, like these issues we have as human beings, they're not new.
Yeah.
Like we've felt this way since the beginning of time. And these people dedicated their lives to figuring out how to live a happy life. So I can't recommend, honestly, if you give me one book to recommend to people that is like the Bible for living a happy life and enjoying it, like it's Stillness is the Key by Ryan Holiday, because like, yeah, you might eventually reach your goal, but if you're miserable up until you reach this idea of what is going to make you happy, then what's the point anyways? You know? And I think that for me, it's just doing the things that like I need to do to anchor myself. So for me, it's we hear it time and time again, but like I need to stay physically healthy, to be mentally healthy. One thing I have to do every single day is live in consultation. And I know that's a question you have. So I have to live in consultation. And it's not like I wish I could say, oh yeah, I work out every day, I meditate every day. Like that's just not realistic with my schedule. Like there's times where like I've realized actually sleep is more important to me. Like mm-hmm. I actually need my 7 hours. I've tried, I've done the 3 hour thing that people, you know, got up, gone to the gym. I've done that. And I'm telling you, that's not the way, at least for me. Like I have to center myself. And as long as I'm living in consultation going, what did I do wrong today? And how can I get better tomorrow? Like that's everything.
When did you start doing that? Living in consultation? I've never heard that until now. And it's so cool because, I mean, first you say something like falling in love with the process, which we've heard, but the way that you wrapped it in context is very, very special on this episode. Now you're talking about, living in consultation. When was that for you? You know, that you needed to do that every single day. That's so powerful.
Thanks, man. Well, I mean, I'm sober now. So I think a lot of these values I learned in AA or in rehab, but like living in consultation is something they always talk about. Right. And it's like, I always tell people who are struggling with addiction or anything, just like, you know, there's no magic pill here. Mm-hmm. Like when you actually go to rehab, it's like that you have to want it. You have to really want to be a better person. You really have to want it. It's not like it's just going to happen for you. And right. As long as you are constantly analyzing kind of yourself and like reflecting on your day, however that is. I mean, people talk about journaling a lot. It's not something I do enough of and something I should do more of, but whatever that is for me, it's really just like, wow, like I don't feel great today. And it's like, okay, what's going on? Why do I not feel my best? Okay, have I slept my 7 hours? Have I, you know, Aristotle says freedom is obedience to self-formulated rules. And I could not agree with that more. Like the most free I ever feel and the most confident I ever feel is when I am obeying the rules I set for myself to be the best version of myself, right? Mm-hmm. Like whether that's just getting some exercise. It's, you know, what are the things I want to do in the morning to just anchor myself, you know? But I just feel like so often we're just, especially with social media and stuff, people are prodded with like, just like, oh, you want to be better than like, then just kill yourself for it and like work until you're dead and you sleep when you're dead and this and that. And it's like, guys, like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Like, that's not right. That's not the answer. Allow yourself to be human, allow yourself to be imperfect, but just know or try to understand your shortcomings and how you can get better. Because that is really, I think, the process of being a human being is just growth.
Mm. And you said it, process. I was immediately going to go back to saying that, like, that's part of it. It has to be, you know, 100%. And what you've probably learned too, you're such a still person. I've watched your interviews and like you had one on YouTube. I don't know what the outlet was, but your mannerisms are very, I love it. I love watching you do your thing on interviews because no other actor does that. No other musician does that. People are so caught up in how they look and, you know, maybe their publicist or manager has them touched up too much. And it's like, oh my God, like it was cool to see that. And that's why I was like, we have to bring Alex on the show. I think you have a stillness that people need to hear about. So more on that. And then I got to talk about this economy on the plane thing. I promise you, I'm going back to that because too many people want to fly first class and want to be bougie and want to like use their money to like look expensive. And I want to hear it from you. Obviously I have thoughts, but this isn't my show. So, well, it's your episode on our show, whatever. So with regard to being still, have you found that like after you became sober and found out what this, you know, living in consultation looks like, you've become more still. And then after having moments and like pretty much, it sounds like every day of stillness, how has that benefited you? And why would you recommend folks kind of consult themselves maybe every day, but not get too overwhelmed with being so still? Because everyone today doesn't want to sit still. And I love sitting still. Doesn't mean that we're not doing anything. It means that you're evaluating and consulting your own self. But for you, what are the benefits to stillness?
Well, I think the first thing is the misconception of stillness. Like I also, and this is something that I learned very recently. And it's like, I'm not talking about just sitting there and meditating for hours. Like stillness is just, I believe stillness is just giving yourself permission to just be, like to just not be like, I feel like there's two different things. Like there's some people who need like a kick in the ass. And it's like, dude, you want this? Go after it. I'm not one of those people. Like, I know, like, if anything, I'm the opposite. Mm. I need to chill out. Like, give yourself a break here, man. Like appreciate what you have done, what you do have, you know? And I think that for me, it's like, I want to do a million things at once. And it's like, and I would imagine most of the people listening are in that category of people that are just like, because to me, like I'm not searching for podcasts like this if I don't want to grow and I don't have this inner need to just like, you know, to achieve whatever it is I'm on this planet to do. So like to me, stillness is like I just said no to like three jobs in the last 2 weeks, and I said no to, you know, it because I want to go home to Canada and see my family. Mm-hmm. You know, like to me, like that's its own version of stillness, of just being like, you know what, like I'm going to give myself permission quickly to just like enjoy what really is important in life. Like, you know, I want to be a storyteller and I want to achieve big things and continue to just keep going. But at the same time, like I want to be present for my family and for my friends and for my wife. And, I know that if I am feeling good, there is very little this world can throw at me that I can't take with a smile. Mm. But if I'm not feeling good, like if I've eaten poorly or I'm not on my game, like I'm miserable, man. Like it's like I'm a different human being. And I think that's kind of what I mean by stillness, is just allowing myself to just enjoy life, like where I'm at, like, you know. We just, by living in this country, man, like I just read this thing, like the chances of us being alive right now are like,
it's like trillion, right?
One in like 400 trillion.
Yeah.
Like, just think about that. Like, that's insane to me. Like we're, you know, we live in this world now where it's just this constant barrage of comparison. And we've heard it time and time again, that comparison is the thief of joy. And it truly is.
That's right.
Like, there's 9 billion people on this planet. Like, the idea that you're comparing yourself to any of them is insane, because what makes you special is the fact that you are authentically you and nobody else can be you. What that also means is you will never have somebody else's career. You know, you will never be somebody else. But that also should be really inspiring, because it also means that no one can ever be you, and you can have your own thing. You can allow these other people and these other businesses to inspire you, but do not get stuck in the trap of trying to replicate that trajectory. You know, and I think that one thing I've realized with the successful actors I've worked with, and I mean the A-listers, people who are on the top of their game, is that they really have worked to mastering themselves as human beings. And I think they had to out of survival, because if you don't in my business, and I actually would go as far to say, if you don't in life, like, it's going to be a really, really hard time, because it's not easy. There's going to be things that are thrown at you, but we do have so much to be grateful for. And there is so much we can just appreciate. And the fact that we're just alive, and we have our friends, and we have our family, and most importantly, we also have our health. You know, health is wealth, you know,
health as well. I mean, it's very grounding to hear these types of things on a show like this, because most folks, if you're tuning in now, you might have needed that, right? It might not be it's super actionable for Alex to say these things, but for you to even imagine a world where you can say no to jobs and you can go be still with your family, you can bring your full authentic self into your career and into your personal life. I'm sure you and your wife are happily married because of that. It's like, there's so many things that I know, and we watch people every single day lose themselves to their job and to what they think is cool, and, you know, getting into the wrong relationships or getting mixed up with the wrong things. And some of that is just being still enough to like be aware and to analyze. And so thank you for saying that, because it's just so valuable to hear out loud. But more on this airplane thing, Alex, and then we're going to get into country music. I love country music. We've had plenty of country stars on the show, and I'm obsessed. I went to UT, and I'm like, you know what? Now I knew it was country music that you were also passionate about, but I thought you just did country music, right? I didn't know you were like a super fan of it, just like I am. But with regard to what you said, when it comes to flying economy instead of first class, that's important to talk about. Because if you're listening and you're about to spend $700 on an airplane ticket to fly first class when you probably don't need to, Alex, drum roll please on this, but why do you choose not to fly first class when you have all this, you know, what I would consider financial freedom of a career, and you've probably built enough wealth to fly however the hell you want, and you choose not to?
So, I mean, for me, it's like, don't get me wrong, I will fly first class when the studio is paying for it, 100%. Like, that's fine. I have no problem with that. Like, it's not like, but for me, I don't really care about perception. You know, like, I really, really, I'd prefer to, like, there's nothing that makes me happier than when I'm in the back of a plane and somebody turns to me and goes, dude, love your stuff. You know, like, that's just awesome. And to me, when I look at my career as a whole, the greatest freedom I have right now is the ability to say no, you know, and I see so many of my friends who, you know, are making less money, but are celebrities in their own right. And they're going to be house poor because they feel like they need to buy this, you know, crazy house, and they need to pay this insane mortgage. And then what they're going to have to do is take a shitty job to pay for that. And then what's going to happen is it just spirals and spirals. And it's all because you were trying to impress people that aren't even in your life. Like, what do you actually need? What do you actually want? And to me, it's its own version of like taking control of my own life. Like, yeah, like, it's, don't get me wrong, like, I'll sit in the exit row. I'm a big dude. Like, I like having leg room, or like, you know, it's not like I like if I'm going to Europe, like maybe. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not spending $6,000 on a ticket. Like, I just think that's ridiculous. Like, I'm just not doing it. When I was a kid, when I was like 19, the Hunger Games came out, I look back on my life and look at the money I spent doing things. And I'm just like, God, you're such a moron. Like, there was just things that like it was just like, to me, I just really appreciate, I appreciate what I have. And I think that if you live with that mentality of like, you know, how much do you actually value this? And that almost compounds on itself. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I learned my first, like I bought a house in Atlanta and when we furnished it, like we had this like interior designer come in and furnish it. And I just like the living room, and he was going to do the house. And I just said, no, we're done. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. Like, this was great learning experience, but like, I don't know why, like, I don't value these things the way some people do. And that's fine. Like, I get it. Like, it's okay if you do. Like, I understand that some people, like, it makes them feel a certain way, and that's okay. Like, I like driving my Jeep. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need a Ferrari. Like, that doesn't do anything for me. It's like, if anything, that just adds stress to my life. To me, the real value is like feeling secure, feeling like I can actually go travel the world. That's amazing. What a gift. And go see my family. Like, that's really all I care about. And in this, I will, and to be even more frank, like these next 10 years, they're a really important part in acting and in my career. And I just need to be really strategic about the jobs I say yes to. So I'm consider myself incredibly grateful that to even be offered jobs for, but like, if you just look at the money, I just feel like it's an easy way to like catapult your career into the ground. And I think, when I look at the people I came up with, and obviously I won't mention names, but like, since I was a kid, like a lot of them aren't here anymore. And I think it's just because, I almost feel bad because I think that they were just pushed into doing things, you know, for money, as opposed to like, is this project going to work? Is this like something that I'd be proud to be a part of? And I don't think there's an actor on the planet who could say that they're proud of every single thing they do, because there are always, you know, so many things have to go right to make something great. But I want to put myself in the best position possible. So, you know, I never take a dollar for granted, like, especially not anymore. I certainly did when I was a kid, but now I've just gone like, no, like, this is such a gift. And just being able to have the freedom to sit back and go, no, you know, I'm going to wait for something amazing is, that was a huge mind shift for me. And I remember the first time it happened was after Vikings, like, you know, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? And I'm like, I don't know, but it has to be great. And, you know, would have an offer here, go for an audition there. And that's, by the way, that's the other big misconception I think about actors is like, yeah, you get offered stuff. A lot of dudes do, but like, it doesn't mean like, I don't know where my next job is. You know, it's not like it's guaranteed. It's a very, very crazy world. But anyways, I kept saying no. And then Bad Boys came along, and like, I didn't think that was going to happen at all, but like, that was I love that franchise, and being a part of that was amazing. So, yeah, it's just, for me, it really just is peace of mind of like, I'm not here to have a dick measuring contest. Like, I love, you know, I don't need to. I love the fact that I'm allowed to just be an actor and be a musician, and I'm really, really grateful for it.
And you've had to put in all the work too. I kept thinking, I'm like, you're, of course, it's such a good feeling to have, like, number one, this head on, right? Like, this peace of mind, but this like aspiration meets contentment. You know what I mean? And I think that was part of what I wanted to chat with you about too, was like, how in a world where everyone's on to the next before they even recognize what's currently happening, you know, have you found that has kept you even more excited to work in general? They're not just acting and singing and songwriting. I'm sure you have other types of ways of work that you've had to deal with, but you think of like how you go from one thing to the next. Do you feel like that daily practice of not just consulting yourself, but understanding that right now you are doing this one thing, you are on this one podcast. Do you know what I mean? And then after this one podcast, you may go work on a script for a couple hours, and then that builds. It goes back to what you were saying about the brick building to the wall. But where has that really benefited you, as opposed to where you say like your counterparts are no longer in the game?
You know, I like this podcast is doing as much, if not more, for me than it probably is doing for the audience. I think just having these kind of conversations is so inspiring to me. And it's a reminder that, like, because that is what it is. Like, every day is just, you have to remind yourself of who you are and the things you want and growing. And I think the main thing that I found in terms of like, just that process is like, especially when it pertains to acting, like, I work with an acting coach. Her name's Ivana Chubbuck, and she's worked with some of the great actors. Just, I mean, literally Halle Berry, Charlize, Brad Pitt, you know, the list is endless. Jake Gyllenhaal, who I just worked with. And it's like, when I work with her, I consider it like this, like I'm in the Olympics right now, and every Olympic athlete has a coach. Mm. So why wouldn't I, you know, why wouldn't I spend that money and invest? And I do that for every audition. I do that for every role. So
that's cool.
She really helps me. She really gets me inspired about it again, because I think sometimes I even get lost. Actually, I know I get lost in the macro of it all, of like, okay, so then this job is going to lead to this job, and then this job is going to lead to this job. And then you're on that job thinking about the next job, and you go, whoa. And that's kind of what I meant, was that mind shift of like, it's, I am being paid to be here, to be present here, to be in this moment now. It's not like, that's my job. Like, it's not like, it's like, how can I best serve this project? Mm. Not how can this project best serve me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's finding that balance between, you know, your ambition for the future, but also your ability to execute the job at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, my coach really grounds me in that process. Like, that's one of those like routine things that I do, is that I always am working with her. And then every Sunday I'm breaking down my scripts for that week. And then I work that week. And then Saturday is kind of like my day off. And then Sunday I'm back working with her for like 2 hours. And we break down the scenes for the next week. And it's just this repetitive kind of motion that just helps me, because I think, like preparation, and I worked with Anthony Hopkins, and when I looked at like his preparation, I was like, Tony, just show me what you do. And I mean, his way of working is like, he will recite lines, I mean, like 500 times, like, I mean, crazy amounts. And his whole view on that was that when he knows it like the back of his hand, he's free. So for me, it's like, you can either be the actor that has this false sense of confidence or bravado that you use to mask your insecurities and you show up that way, or you can be the one who is ruthlessly prepared and just an absolute operator. And that gives you the ability to be completely free in that moment. And I want to be the latter.
Mm. I mean, listen, we're inching towards like what is probably going to be such a phenomenal podcast. And I love that. I mean, just an episode like this, you say all of this, and I felt no hesitation on your end where you were like, wait, am I talking too much? Or is Justin like an ass and ask what next question? Y'all, it like, right? Like, that's just how podcasts sometimes feel, or interviews feel that way. And I'm like, I told Alex before we hit record, I was like, yo, this is conversation. Say what's on your mind, say what's on your heart. And like, the episode's going to produce itself. Dude, you've given us so much to like leave with, to think about, to do something with. In relation to your acting career and your music and how you get on a plane and how you react to things, how you've come to sobriety and how you deal with that now. Like, there is so much on here, and I'm like, I don't even know how the hell I'm going to title your episode at this point, because it was so much. Typically I can say, oh great, two topics, I'm going to like judge that and put it on episode 105. But no, I have to really think about, like, thoughtfully put that together here in a second. And I say we're inching close to, because we have a few minutes left here, but I wanted to really give room for what you're excited for with, I mean, like, listen, a project's a project, but to release an album is very, very exciting. So what, when we click play on the, I know, and like, you know, you released one single already, but where do you want Highway 99 to, you know, you think about how people will click play and listen to this music and understand you better. What are the hopes there? What, you know, where does your heart meet the heart of the listener to your now new album that's coming out?
You know, I felt that, Highway 99 in Canada is this winding road in the Pacific Northwest that it's one of the most beautiful drives ever. And I think so many people's albums, or at least a lot of the artists, that, you know, they're this story from A to B. The way I would describe Highway 99 is it's just this winding road of feelings. And when you listen to this album, I want you to feel like you're on that road with me. It's really, I know that's a very artistic cliche thing to say, but it's like, it is the truth. Like, it's like, that is what I wanted. I wanted it to be music you could drive to, you roll your windows down and just enjoy, you know, and hopefully be inspired by it. There's a lot of amazing writers on this. I wrote a lot of songs on it. I'm so grateful to just get to release it. And I hope you enjoy it. Like, I hope everyone just enjoys it. That's it. In terms of what happens with it, that's totally out of my control. And I'm just grateful to get to do it.
Mm. Yeah. From the Hunger Games to the Olympic Games to the, what do you call it? The Grand Old Opry Games will probably be a thing in your life now. I can't wait for that day. Macy and everyone, like, y'all call me whenever that happens. Do you know what I mean? You say, yeah. Justin, we're in Nashville. You fly down here. You talk to Alex on the carpet, and he is at the Grand Ole Opry. We'll talk more country music a little later, folks. And I think that if anything, if you clicked play, this is a podcast for you by guys like Alex, which is the best part of this thing. You know, we went from, you know, one day I was like, oh, well, today's most influential men, sure. But at the end of the day, this is a personal development show. And I think that a lot of these conversations hopefully just help you as you stop and listen to my annoying voice in the outro and go about your life in whatever ways you need to. So if you hung out with us this entire time, thank you for being here. And Alex, thank you for saying yes and opening up, giving us a lot of insight. All of that is just so nourishing for the soul to hear from someone who really means it. We hear that shit all the time. Right? Like, yeah. People will say things, and for you, you said it, but I felt it. And I know you meant it. And I know other people can say they felt the same. So thank you for saying yes and hanging out with me, right here on the podcast, brother.
Dude, thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to meet you, and I hope I get to meet in person soon.
Hey friends, Justin again. Well, that was the conversation today, and I hope you took plenty away from it. For those who keep coming back to this podcast, I want to say thank you for always being here and growing with my guests and I over the years. And if you're new to the Men of the Hour show, thank you for being here, and I'd love for you to come back next time by clicking that subscribe button. Oh, and for all of us tuning in right now, I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode by leaving a rating and review right where you're listening. Until next week, I'm your host, Justin Crawford. Continue taking care of yourself and inspiring others to do the same.